Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for August 13th, 2023 is based on Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. The preacher is Pastor Corey Wagenfield, and the sermon title is The Storms of Life. An introduction to our reading from Matthew. Matthew's gospel typically portrays Jesus' disciples as people of little faith who fail despite their best intentions. In this story, Matthew shows how Jesus comes to the disciples when they are in trouble and sustains them in their time of fear and doubt. A reading from Matthew. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side of the Sea of Galilee while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Well, grace and peace to you from Jesus Christ, the one who is with us among the storms of life. Amen. Now, the writer of the Gospel of Matthew is pretty harsh in the way that he depicts the disciples, more so even than the other Gospel writers. In Matthew, they always seem to be this bumbling group of imbeciles that couldn't find the broad side of a barn if they were staring right at it. But in all reality, could they really be that incompetent? Perhaps Matthew is just predominantly highlighting their shortcomings in order to show that they are always in the process of learning from Jesus and that there's always room to grow. And admittedly, we sometimes buy into the whole downplaying of the abilities of the disciples. I mean, we named one of them Doubting Thomas, assuming that's his only good character trait. And then there's poor Peter, who is the prototypical example of someone who might have good intentions, but always gets it wrong. And I wonder if maybe we've been interpreting this passage incorrectly in the way we criticize Peter as the one of little faith. So often I hear interpretations of this passage that say, if Peter had only trusted Jesus more and not been scared by the storm, he would have been able to walk on water the entire way without sinking. But I have a hard time fully buying in to that interpretation. Why? Because the worldly dangers that were all around Peter in that moment would have definitely activated his evolutionary response to danger that's encoded in all of God's living creatures: fight or flight. And when danger arises, our bodies naturally pump us full of adrenaline, and we try to figure out how we're going to survive. Our own survival is our greatest concern. And his worry about the waves and the storms all around him would have been a natural response to the danger. And if this interpretation is true, does it mean that having enough faith means that we can do anything we want and nothing will ever harm us as long as we trust enough in Jesus? I'm not so sure that's what the text is trying to tell us. If that were the case, if we knew that there was a certain amount of faith that we could have and nothing bad would ever happen, that would mean that we could step out of a flying plane with no parachute and just have enough faith that God will land us safely on our two feet. I don't know about you, but I don't want to try that theory out. I like the way that Amy Hunter puts it in a 2005 article in the issue of Christian Century magazine. She says this: Matthew's story of Jesus walking on water with Peter can spawn some bad theologies. Peter's escapade can become evidence that God asks us to demonstrate faith by taking pointless risks. Or Jesus' reproof of you of little faith, why do you doubt, can lead to belief that if our faith is only strong enough, no harm will ever befall us. Setting the bar that high for faith can result in feeling afraid to admit our fears and doubts to others, ourselves, and God. Further, when bad things happen, and they will, we may believe that our lack of faith caused this harm, or that God isn't powerful enough or compassionate enough to protect us. She goes on to say, to be afraid and to doubt in the face of danger is human. If God's demand of us is not to fear and not to doubt, then we are asked to do a task far more impossible than Peter's steps on the sea. But perhaps Jesus is speaking to Peter as a friend. Perhaps he knows and he accepts Peter's limitations. And what he is saying is, you were doing it, Peter. You had it. Don't lose it. Because faith is never settled once and for all. She says, I grasp God, or more accurately, for a moment I realize that God grasps me, and then I lose that knowledge from time to time. I never get to check off the have sufficient faith on my list of accomplishments and call it complete. Here's my interpretation of what Jesus means when he tells Peter, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? I don't think that Jesus is responding to the fact that the pressures and the stresses and the dangers of the world caused Peter to begin to sink. I think Jesus is responding to the fact that Peter cries out for Jesus to save him. And here's what I mean. Peter is looking directly at God, at Jesus, who he knows is good and loving, who called him out of the boat into this situation, whose arm is outstretched to him. But in that moment, he doubts that Jesus will be there for him in his time of trouble. And so he shouts out, save me. Now please hear me when I say these next two qualifying statements, because they are important. Number one, Jesus may call us into difficult or scary situations for the benefit of God's gospel, but it is not forced upon us. We have a choice as to whether we follow that call into harm's way or not. And number two, it is absolutely okay to cry out to God when we feel alone or abandoned. It does not mean that we lack faith. What I do think Jesus is critiquing is Peter's lack of trust in God's character. Peter's in the presence of love incarnate, the great physician, the miraculous healer who he has seen done amazing things. And in that moment, does he really believe that Jesus is going to let him drown? I think that the anxieties and the stresses of that moment for Peter cause him to doubt that Jesus has Peter's best intentions and well-being at heart. Have there ever been times in our lives when the anxieties or the stresses of life have caused us to waver in our faith? There will be times when we too question God's character and promises, when we wonder if God is really there for us. There will be times when we are that person of little faith. But our human doubts do not change God's love for us. God is always there for us. Even when our anxieties and fears cloud our vision, it's not so much about what we do to move ourselves closer to God. It's more about being open to seeing that God is already and has always been right there next to us, waiting patiently for us to realize it and then to lead us more deeply into a life of love and service. And so, like Peter, we can step forward. Even if the ground of our lives is no more substantial than water. Because what matters is that we are walking toward Jesus, whose nail-scarred hands are held out toward us, stretched out in invitation to draw us to him at Christ's table and in the lives of one another, stretched out to grasp us and comfort us when we trip and fall. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.